Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
We should come up with a different intro every time.
Oh, let's come up with a jingle.
Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios. Mark and Heidi.
And hi-hats.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios. I'm Mark.
And I'm Heidi.
Our producer, Lauren, came up with some talking points, they call it, in the industry.
Let's go.
And we're going to talk. So this is going to be, although we haven't done in a while, haven't been on a date in a long time, it's going to be our dating episode.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Dating stories, advice. So first of all, let's start on, without getting into details, Have you ever been on a good date prior to meeting me?
Okay. Growing up in Louisiana, dates are kind of like made for you. And I'll tell you why. Because.
Like arranged marriages?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. Oh,
you just got to make it weird. No, there's so much to do in Louisiana. Every weekend is a festival. And sports games are huge. Whether it could be high school, like whether it's baseball, football, college. There's a college, University of Louisiana is in my hometown. There's always something to do. Almost every place has music. So live music. So there's always something where you're going and you're like, you know, it's not like, oh, I had to, you know, get tickets to this concert and thing. Like there's just so much stuff at random places wherever you go. And so for that, dating was like, that was a big part of it being taken out of the equation because there's just so many options, right? And those things are fun. Doesn't matter who you're with.
Okay.
Then, I honestly don't have like anything major that I remember
out to dinner with just a guy and.
Yeah,
and,
but there's like live music. So then you're dancing and like, Cajun music and all this. Sunday afternoons, like so many restaurants had like Cajun bands. And that was like what everybody did. And you would go dance. Like, it was, oh, wait, what's the place in Fred's in Mamou? Oh my gosh. Amazing Cajun band on the weekend, on Sundays. And you would dance your butt off. Cajun music, so much fun. And there's like tons of places like that.
So it
was never like, I was always out doing that kind of stuff, whether it were a date or with my friends, like that's just what it was.
But it seems like your dates were more social with other people.
Yeah.
Like it was more.
Yeah.
Like you never
Which I
had,
liked. I
you
liked.
Never had a guy walk into a great restaurant and tip the maitre d' to get you a good table.
I mean, you don't really do that. Like it's not like that down there.
Oh.
That's why I'm saying it's like, I feel like it was different for me because of that. But so no like major negatives. But like definitely not something that stands out until I met you.
And then what happened there?
Oh my gosh. Wait, our first date or the first night we like hung out together? Because those are two different.
First
date, I remember it like it was yesterday. Merchants. It was like actually like you asked me on a date and I was so nervous.
I didn't like you're not used to that because they're just like, hey, we have the crawfish rally going on and we're going to meet.
No, not like that. No, it's just like, I don't know. I feel like you were I had not been in New York City that long. So I moved to New York City from Louisiana with friends. So everybody I knew was like people from home. And then I met you. You were born in New York City. So I was nervous. Like, I was like, I didn't know very much about you, but I knew that I liked you. And so I just felt like this was going to be different because I never got to know someone like that from New York City. Like, I have these like ideas of like guys from New York City. I don't know. I assumed that everybody worked on Wall Street and wore brown suits. Like, that's what I thought, but not you.
No.
You were, okay, so Merchants was this little loungy lounge, but like cool, like sofas, and it was dark, and a lot of candles, and we went there, and you were just so funny, and I will say, I was like, as the day's going on, I'm like, oh my God, like, I feel like I'm gonna spend the rest of my life with this man, and I remember where it took a hard turn when you said you were allergic to dogs. And I'm like, okay, I'm out. I can't do this. Like, I have to have dogs in my life. Right. And you were like, I'll take allergy shots. Like, who cares? I was like, oh, you would do that for me? Oh, I'm in love. But that, and then we had like small plates. Like, that was a thing at the time in New York City. A lot of loungy bars. And then small, it was like small tables, small plates. But it was so fun. Killer music. I remember I told you I loved Elvis and you were like, who are you? Like, you're 25 years old. Like, I don't know. I just feel like neither one of us were what the other expected. It was such a nice like date. And I just was like giddy. Honestly, it was so fun.
I think what was cool about meeting you is I was a little bit older. I was in my late 20s and I do think it opposites attract. And I think that I was ready to find someone different than the people that I've grew up with, went to high school with, went to college with. And then I met this Southern gal from Louisiana.
Gal.
And it was cool, man. I was so open to it, like, to just meeting someone that had
a different life experience.
Yeah, but I saw pictures of you with long hair, and I met you when you had long hair originally quickly. Yeah. And then I think after you met me, you shaved your head for some reason. I don't know. Then
had nothing to do with you, honey.
I will say, as far as it goes for dating for me, I had a really good friend group at home, and Friday and Saturday nights were very important to me because I worked hard during the week and I wanted to enjoy my Friday and Saturday nights. And I wanted to, if I were going to go out on a date, I wanted to make sure that I had fun. So even if I didn't have a good time with the person, I always tried to make the best of it. And I have a question for you. Have you ever been on a blind date?
No.
Really?
I'm from a small town. Everybody knows everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost impossible. Have you?
Yes.
And?
Yes. So after college, I lived with my grandfather had a big house in New York, and I lived in a basement apartment, and he rented the top floor to an older woman, and she and I got along very well, and she would just,
You went on a blind date with her?
No. But she's told me, she said, Mark, are you single? And I was like, yeah, I'm single. She's like, I have the perfect girl for you.
How old was this lady, give or take?
Mid-70s. So anyway, she said, we set it up and I called her and she seemed like a very nice girl. And she was wonderful. She was great. But it just, there wasn't a connection. And that's the last time I've gone on a blind date with anyone, my first and only time, and it was fun. It was fine. She was nice.
Were you I've never been on a blind date. Like, to me, oh my gosh, I'd be so nervous. Also, we were dating in a time where you couldn't go to Instagram and feel this person out and see what they're all about, even though you know Instagram isn't real and it's just like the highlights of their life and it makes them look really good.
But you're going to do a deep dive. Who their friends are?
Yes.
Yeah, there was no deep dive.
It was like blind date.
Yeah.
Blind dating, because you didn't know, like, unless you knew them, but that's so funny.
Yeah.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
All right, so I graduated college, lived in with my grandfather in my grandfather's house for a little while. Then I moved into New York City. I was taking a couple of classes at Columbia. So I was in the Upper West Side and I was living my life, enjoying New York City with one of my roommates from college was there. Actually, the guy that introduced us together and everything. I had no intention of settling down, of dating anyone seriously. It was like, finally, I was like, I had a great job and I was leading a single life in New York City. And I saw Heidi at the gym and my roommate from college worked at this gym and Heidi worked there. And I was like, wow. Okay. And then I met, then we started talking.
Did I have hair at the time you said?
When I first met you, you had hair and then you shaved it. And I thought you were as pretty without hair as you were with hair. And
I feel like I do think about, well, not often, but I remember at the time thinking he met me with hair and he still wanted to go out with me without with a shaved head. And I like that you didn't care. It's hair. It grows back. I didn't care. Some people have a problem with that.
Really?
Back then, I feel like people didn't do that as much. Like,
yeah,
it's
more accepting now.
Yeah. It's like hair. It's not that big of a deal.
And then I remember.
Also, I couldn't afford to go to a salon. So it really helped me.
I guess we had gone out on our first date where we were dating a couple maybe a week or so. And I called my sister and I said, and her best friend, Gina, who they both know me and they're older than I am, but they've kind of been both my big sisters. Mm-hmm. And they knew I was single living in New York. And I said, I met the woman I'm going to marry. And they're like, get out of here. And they were going, no way. Who is this girl? Who is it? And I was right. So,
and Mimi's my best friend.
Yeah. She is. Dude, she loves you. That's a great, I know this is off topic on dating, but one of the coolest things about our situation is the whole in-law thing. Mm-hmm. Like my mom could not love you anymore. Mm-hmm. And
she always made me feel that.
Always. And it's weird because Italian moms could be very possessive over their little Italian prince son. And she was never like that. She
could have very easily, like, who is this girl that shaves her head? Like, what are you doing? What's all this about? And she was like, oh, she's so beautiful. I don't, like, she didn't care. Your family didn't care about that.
But it was, you would think that there would be this huge roadblock for us because me being from the Northeast, mm-hmm, and you being from the South.
And my family, like, to look at you, like, who is this New Yorker, like, city slicker trying to date my daughter? And they loved the second they met. Well, they were happy. I was happy. But the second they met you, they were like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. Everyone said our wedding was like the Sopranos meets the Dukes of Hazzard. And it really was.
We got married in Louisiana. That was fun.
That was, and all of my friends from college and high school all came down to Louisiana. But that's to me is so important. And I will say for me, my mom was never got in the middle of relationships, but would say to me when I was in a, what I think the kids call toxic relationships, mm-hmm, or something that just wasn't that, my mom would just come to me and go, dude, what are you doing? She's obviously.
Would you listen?
Yeah. Because my mom wouldn't
normally
wouldn't interject, right, but she's like, you're wasting your time, or she's not the right one for you. And that to me is the key, and is like for us
recognizing
if that. We would have met in if I were in college or you were in college, and who knows if it's the right time. It might be the right person, wrong time. Mm-hmm. And I think you were the right person at the right time, yeah. because I had so much appreciation for you and how you handled situations. And just, I was like, all the things that you learn that you like over the mm-hmm. years that
got you there.
And that's what, and I do remember my mom saying that to me all the time. And I would always try to sell my mom on it, say like, this person is, oh, she's fine, or we'll work things out. But I would, when I was dating someone, not just going on a singular date, but dating someone long-term, I never lived with that person. And it would be a situation where I'd see them like on the weekends, and you'd see Friday, you hang out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And every person I dated I couldn't wait for that Sunday to come. And then all of a sudden Thursday would roll around, like, oh, maybe I'll see her again. And then same thing. Friday would be great. And then by Sunday, I'm like, dude, I got to get out of here. And I never felt that with you. From the first time we met, we were kind of inseparable. Yeah. And
what was cool, like you worked for yourself. So you worked out of your apartment, and I was a personal trainer. And so I would get up, like my clients started like 5:30, 6 in the morning until like, I don't know, 11 noon. And then I would, the peak hours to train. And then after people were off of work would be like, you know, from 5 to 10 or 11, whatever. And so, you know, in that time, in between those time, we were together a lot. It's not like you were off in an office, or I was off in an office, and I'll see you like when I'm done at, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. We were together like days, and then, you know, we were just together so much, and never ever. And that has continued. You've continually worked for yourself. So, and then when the girls were born, couple, we decided that, and I wanted to stay home with the kids, and so we were together, not just the two of us, but as a family. And some people are like, oh my god, how do you spend so much time together? Like, I couldn't imagine it any other way. My dad was in sales, and so he always worked for himself, and he same thing. So my dad and mom were together all the time, and he was always able to go to everything because his hour. I mean, he worked for himself, so he could do that. And so that's what I knew growing up. And this was so like comfortable for me. And I just think it's weird how that all worked out. Like, what are the chances that you end up in a situation that was a positive that your parents had and you had growing up? So I love that aspect of us. It worked for us. It might not work for everybody.
No, I think that's the problem. I think people get married to people that they can't
spend
countless time with, and then I would suggest maybe you don't get married. I think the fact that, and we're all together so often, if I leave for a week or something, like, I can't wait to get back to you and the girls and the dogs.
I don't sleep good. It's weird when you're not there, and I'm like, and it's not even like we're codependent. It's not even that. It's like I genuinely miss, like, because I don't know, we're like, I enjoy the time we are together. And when, just like anything, when you're not doing something you enjoy, it's like you miss it. And so it's more of that, not like, I can't live without him. I'm living my life. You're living your life. We're doing whatever it is that we're doing. And that part is fine. Like, it's not like I have this, I'm, you know, so dependent on you, I can't live my life. It's not that. But I just like miss you.
I think it's changing nowadays, but the way things used to happen is you get a job, you move out of the house, and you get married and you have kids. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone, when we were younger, that was the plan. And if you weren't married, people looked at you like you were a little bit off. So I think it forced people that probably don't feel the way we feel about each other to get married. And then they find the inevitable that they're not right for each other.
So wait, talking to that, how things are changing, you know, I do see the younger generations of they're not necessarily looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They're choosing to be single.
Yes.
Which I find interesting because I think when you take off that pressure of like, you know, I'm talking about 20 somethings, right? You take that pressure off of like, oh, I got to get married. Like I got to, you know, find someone and get married. You get to kind of learn who you are. And I think it's good to feel what it's like. I don't know, live your life in your own shoes, on your own terms. And, you know, but I do wonder, do you get so set in who you are? Your standards are so high of who you've, you know, maybe you're less open to who you date or yeah. whatever. And then you feel like, oh, I can't find someone. I don't know.
I know. I would say to all the people out there, if you find your partner golfing 4 hours on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, yeah, your marriage is doomed, people.
That's not fair. That I know a lot of people who golf. Not a lot, but I do know people who golf and are very happy.
I think marriage. Dudes that golf you know don't what? Like their wives.
Oh, stop.
Pick up
oh
basketball for 20 minutes or go. There's no need for a man to be out of the house for 5 hours on Saturday and Sunday. Go play catch with your kid and get the hell off the golf course.
Oh my God. What?
This episode sponsored by Titleist. We just lost all of our golf sponsors.
Oh, we had golf sponsors.
No, I do.
You know what? But that's what I'm saying. Like that works for some marriages. What that time while the guy or whatever is out on the golf course for 5 hours, the wife is like, oh my gosh, I have my time. You know, maybe they're both work outside of the home or whatever, and they get to just be home and have like me time or girl time. Some that works for some people, and that's fine. Like, who are you to say that's not a good thing for a marriage? Like, I disagree with that. I think every marriage is going to have its own sort of. Now, if you're doing that and there's a lot of complaining about right, it, then right, you got to something.
I apologize for all of the wonderful marriages that need a lot of space during the day to make it work. My bad.
Yeah, that's just not how we do it. But that's at work. It does. It works for some people. I remember my friend growing up, like living in Louisiana, a lot of people worked in the oil field, and her dad was out offshore 2 weeks out and 2 weeks in. And it just worked for their family. Like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't imagine it for me, but they were a total tight family and like loved each other and had lots of fun. And it was just her life of growing up with a dad who was away every other 2 weeks, you know? Okay. And there's a whole thing too in Louisiana, like hunting season. Like when hunting season happens, like all the guys are like gone for weekends in a row, like while the season is on, and the girls are like,
do you think statistically, are there more divorces after hunting season ends?
I don't know. Like when he comes back, yeah. Like, oh, I don't know stats on that. I'm not going to comment on that.
I got something I'd like to talk about. Although we were married and we are.
Yeah.
We're still married. Mm-hmm. We never stopped dating.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about that. I agree, except that it got weird during quarantine because we weren't really going anywhere. And now that things are opening, I feel like when we do go out to like dinners or things, we're always with other people. Does that count or no?
I have a reason for that. And I think because we're new to LA.
You need a buffer.
No. We don't know where to go. We're just like, oh, yeah. So when we were back home, we had like 50 places that we'd been to 50 times. Mm-hmm. So we would just say, hey, you want to go? We know like 4 restaurants in the town.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of stuff, just you and I. Like dinners, it would just be. Oh, mostly because we're not good planners and we're like, I'm hungry. Me too. Want to go here? Okay, get ready. And then we go.
And then we would jump in it. Like, we don't.
But we always like took the time to like get cute and like coordinate our outfits and like that sort of.
Yeah.
Colors. But, right. You know, I think that is part of a date, like getting excited to go out with you and like getting ready. And I do enjoy that. And whether it's like this big fancy like major night out, this crazy nice place, or just a place that we're very comfortable going to because we love it there and it's got a good vibe. Either way, like the getting ready for it to me is a part of it that I get excited for and I look forward to. So I do feel like that is still dating.
I will give a recommendation, and this isn't for all wives, but I know when some men might think that you need to plan an extravagant date, and the more things you do is get the right reservation at the right table at the right restaurant and all that stuff. And I find when I go out with Heidi and I'm attentive and I ask her questions and we talk about things that are important to her, the date goes really well. And it's not just all about her. It'll then come to me and we have good conversation, kind of like this amazing podcast we have right now.
Literally, we could be anywhere. And if it's going like that, like that's my favorite. I'm not like, I don't need extravagant situations. Like we could even do that at home. And that's like important, I think, to have the other person feel like you care and like truly, genuinely want to know. Like there's things that we've like learning about ourselves now. Like, oh, when I was a kid, and I can't remember, but that happened recently. And you were like, what? I've never heard that story. Definitely keep dating because that's how you ended up together in the first place. Like keep that.
But with that said, some of the first dates we went on, we went to a restaurant called Scalini, which that's where Heidi and I got engaged. I proposed to her there. And this guy, Patty, was the son of Raffaella, who owned a restaurant in Greenwich Village that my dad used to go to. And this was an incredible Italian restaurant in New York City. Her son became a chef and opened this restaurant, Scalini. And when we walked in there, it was like we were stars.
Family and like exciting.
Like, yeah, family. But he rolled out the red carpet for us. Oh, Mark, yeah. Heidi, come in. And there is something to be said for having a little bit of pampering and attention at a date. But then after, it was all good conversation, which made the date great.
It's easy for things to go a little. When you don't pay attention to the relationship, to what the other person, not like their needs, but more of like, I want you to know I am still interested in you and you're still growing and learning, and especially this life that we have that's so new and different. Like, I want you to know that I care about how you feel about that, and just like talking it through. And it doesn't have to be deep, like heavy conversation. Like most of the time we're laughing, like, can you believe this or whatever? And we both kind of get to share that, and maybe you don't care, but I know I care when you actually want to know how I like, how are you dealing with this? How do you feel about it? And that kind of stuff. I like that. I don't know if you like it. I assume you like it because I like it, but maybe you don't.
Like what?
I don't know. Like that. Like if I'm like, hey, you know, I just want you to know, like, I'm here for you. Like this happened, or
if it's just normal things, like I think the same way Dixie is, we figure it out and we're like, I'm good. I don't need anyone to help me. But when there's always times where I'm like, Hyde, I got to talk to you. This is like, if I say Hyde, I got to talk to you, you know, there's something's going on that I need
like
to talk
negative.
About. Or, but if I say like, if it's like, Hyde, I got to talk to you, that's negative. I'm like, Hyde, I got to talk to you.
Oh yeah. Like
that's positive. That yeah, makes just do total that. Sense. Hey, talk about real quick on the difference between the first time we went to Scalini.
So first of all, the most loving, like the most Italian loving man, Mark, your father, I knew you when you were a kid, like all this stuff. It was so cute. And he was just like family. I don't know if he actually is your family.
No, he's not.
He's not. But it seems very much like family. And just like, you know, the kiss on each cheek, and like he would like grab you around your neck, like the back of your neck, and like put his arm around you. And you know, oh, I got the best table for you. And I'm sitting here like, what is happening right now? And so we sit down. The menu's like in Italian. I can't read it. I'm still new to New York City. I don't know, like, this is fancy. And so I'm just trying to, like, act like I know what I'm doing. And then I'm like, okay, the jig is up. I don't know how to read this. What is all this stuff? Like, I knew spaghetti. And I know, like, mac and cheese at this point in my life. I'm 25. And then there's, like, all these different kind of pastas and sauces. I don't know. And so, but you knew me so far well enough to know that I did not like a lot of things or trying a lot of things. So you were very patient with me. And you were like, I think you would like this or whatever. So you were like, Patty, do you have a blah, blah, blah? I don't even remember what it was. He was like, I'll get it for you, Mark. Next thing, we see the guy walk out. He goes to the grocery store, buys the ingredients to make what you asked for. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't on the menu, and he didn't have the ingredients to make it, but he knew you wanted it. I was like thoroughly impressed. I'm like, okay, what is happening right here? It was like one of the best meals I've ever had. It was pretty amazing. But I will say, okay, Mark, being a funny guy, this wasn't that night, but another restaurant, we went to dinner. Again, don't know what to get because everything, there's all kind of new foods I'd never seen in my life on the menu. So you helped me. And so you shared something from your plate. You were like, oh, this is an almond. It was like a thin sliced almond. And you like gave it to me off of your fork and I ate it. And what it was a slice of garlic, fresh garlic, that he was being funny. So that was a dating experience
that was totally a mistake because I thought that was an almond.
Not a mistake. You were giggling your ass off, but that was funny. That's why I always laugh with you. But then we go to Louisiana. I'll let you tell that story. Do you remember? Do you want me to tell you?
No, I remember. I'm just talking Louisiana restaurants in general. There aren't really nice restaurants in Louisiana, but it is definitely,
it's more casual for sure.
Yeah, we're like this, and there are casual restaurants in New York and Connecticut too. But this was the vibe for a date where I was trying to impress you. Was I wanted to be more Scalini that night, but going to Louisiana, it's actually more fun.
It
is.
I'm pretty sure there was a band playing. There's Cajun music.
I mean, I'm just thinking all the places, like from Prejean's to
Randall's,
where you go and the food is absolutely incredible. It's different. It's funny. There's a lot of stuff that's, because the ingredients are probably, some are similar to what is in Italian food. So there's some things that there's a beef dish that I'm like, oh my God, that tastes like brajol, which is a rolled beef dish that my grandmother used to make.
Mm-hmm.
So the food is absolutely incredible. Lots of different sauces and seafood. And there's always music playing and everyone's casual.
And everybody dances.
Everyone's
everywhere.
Dancing. Everyone's casually dressed, but they're having a great time and it's super friendly. And that's what makes the world go around because both things, you can have the same way you had such a great night at Scalini. I feel so at home as in Louisiana. And there aren't a lot of Italians and people that are from the Northeast that go, especially where you're from in Louisiana, I think in probably Baton Rouge or in New Orleans, the bigger cities, there's probably more people, but Lafayette has embraced me and Louisiana has embraced me. My brother-in-laws are incredible. They're all, you know, I'm the only one not wearing a cowboy hat but we all get along really, really well. And I think it comes back to what we originally talked about, that opposites attract, and it's worked really well for our family.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like when we go down there, my family loves you and loves our family as we are. And we are different because, you know, the girls were raised in a different part of the country. And just when you have two people from two different cultures in our different parts of America that come together and get married and have kids is going to be different than if you would have married like an Italian girl from New York, or I married someone from Louisiana. Like, it would have been more similar, but because of that, it's different, but in the most positive way. Like, I don't know, but I think the takeaway is keep dating even though you're married. take the time to plan fun things, which I need to do better at that. I will admit. Also, life is just opening, so give me a break. And I do have things planned. You don't even know. I don't know about the younger generation dating. Learn when it's not right.
Yes.
And walk away.
But I would say that, but also married life is better than single life. If you find the right person and you mm-hmm. can, and I would say you have to go through life with a partner that has your back and building a family, there's nothing like it. And I would take being married over being single any day of the week, but with you.
But don't settle.
But
right?
Don't settle. Yeah.
I would do this marriage over a million times. I wonder if we've been married in other past lives. Would you marry me again in another life?
Like, yes, I would.
What if I would be the guy?
Yes, I would still marry you.
Good to know. I think when we were together and I had that moment, like, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you, I never thought that that was a thing, a real thing in my life, that that would ever happen. Like, you just, I don't know, you find someone, you date them, and then you get married. The feeling that I had, and listen, I don't know, maybe people have that feeling and it doesn't end up the way they expected, but for me, I don't know. I don't know if it was what I felt or it was how a combination of how I felt about you, but how you made me feel about me. Oh my gosh, I'm not going to cry right now. Oh, what's happening? You were the first person I ever dated that made me feel like I was the most special person on the world, on the planet. I had confidence in myself and I felt good in my own shoes, but to have a person standing next to you be so proud of you very shortly after meeting you, that was awesome. And I don't know, like, I just felt you were genuine and real. And I don't know, when you have a guy who loves his mother and his sister so deeply, that was special to me. And I just knew. That's all I have to say about that.
Thank you, Heidi. I think that I felt that when I first met you, that no one told you all the things. I don't think I was telling you something that I think you needed to hear. I thought I was telling you something that you deserved to know. And I don't think anyone really told you all the things that in the short time that I got to know you that made me fall head over heels for you. And it was pretty natural, and I really felt those things. And you kept saying no one's ever said that before. And I'm like, I thought that was impossible. And not just because you were beautiful, like, that was, that's obvious. You're pretty, you're beautiful as much today as you were then. But when I got to know you and started talking to you, I was like, wow. This woman is different than anyone I've ever met in an incredibly positive way. And I wanted to tell you all those things that I felt. And the fact that it just, those memories brought you to tears is makes me feel good. And I know they're tears of joy, and I'm glad we've been able to share our lives together.
Thanks. And also, you make me laugh more than anyone on the planet.
Yes.
I think you're the funniest person alive.
Yeah. I debate there.
Oh, and also love.
I make myself laugh often.
You make yourself
too,
laugh. You're your biggest fan. But prior to you, like, I mean,
just kidding.
The few relationships I had before were, like, you know, very toxic, like high school, and, you know, to any young person hearing this in high school age or whatever, like, never, ever, ever. I should have walked away from that 100 times and I didn't have the confidence, but dig deep. You're bigger than that. Walk away. And then the second big relationship I had post high school was like, it wasn't a bad relationship. It's just, we weren't right for each other. And there was just not, I feel like it was more of like him hyping me up, and which was nice, but we should have just been friends. And then when I met you, it was just like, it's just, I don't know how you know, but it obviously affects me all these years later. 1997.
I've never had a terrible relationship. I've never been in a real toxic relationship. I was kind of in your similar relationship to your last one. And I knew there was something more, and I set my standards high. But with all that said, while we're telling young people, I think you have to be realistic. When you're sharing your life with someone, there's compromise that has to be made. Mm-hmm. You have to go into it with an open mind. You have to be willing to take on a whole nother person into your life. And it's not always going to be bliss. Nope. There are, and you have to be willing to work it. So I think it's a balance between finding someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with and you want to be with, but also being flexible and being open-minded and knowing it's a two-way street and you have to compromise. And I think we do a great job at that.
I think too, learning how to argue is so key, because there's a lot of things that could be said in the heat of a moment. And I think we do a good job of not letting things get ugly in those times. And we know we're still going to love each other and spend our days together. So I'm not going to attack you. I don't really feel that way. And finding composure in those moments, I think, is super important. And arguing productively is just super, super important to the relationship, because those are times that it could really rock you and they're harder to recover from because the words can be hurtful.
Yeah, I would never say anything to you that I think I would regret tomorrow. Like I don't know where I learned that from, because I didn't want that to be around the girls. And I wasn't around a lot of bad marriages, and my parents were divorced, so luckily my mom was probably smart enough to keep me away from toxicity. But I just never want to have that negative energy in our house. And I'm not saying we're perfect and we argue, but I do think we're really good at, when we argue, realizing that we're in this forever and we're going to make up, and we might as well make up now than drag it on for a week.
Yeah, we do like to make up quickly. Right. Like, okay, are we done with this? Because I want to have fun again.
Cool, man. All right, so I think that's it for this one, right? Yeah, that's the end of our podcast, Mark and Heidi, the Other D'Amelios. I'm Mark.
And I'm Heidi. Follow me on my socials, at Heidi D'Amelio.
And you follow me, at Mark D'Amelio. Bye, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. See ya.
Bye. Love you, Mark.
Love you, Heidi.
Mark and Heidi, the Other D'Amelios, comes to you from Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio.
You can listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.